What if we could see the cumulative impact of humans on the far-flung seas? Ben Halpern is a research scientist at the University of California in Santa Barbara. He's created a computer simulation that does just that. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Well, what does your global mapping program do?
Well, what we did is we looked at 17 different human activities ranging from climate change to commercial fishing to land-based pollution to invasive species. And we took all of these different activities and layered them one on top of the other to get the big picture, sort of cumulative impact of human activities on the ocean. So in the past, people have focused on just one of these at a time. So how are humans affecting the oceans through fishing, or how are they affecting the oceans through climate change? And when you look at just one at a time, you really only get a partial picture of what's going on. So with our efforts, we wanted to get the full big picture and really understand how humans are affecting the oceans.
Well, it must be pretty complicated. I mean, you have an area where species may be weakened by, say, warmer oceans, and then you have trawlers digging up the bottom and perhaps chemicals leaking out from the coast. How can you put those together when you're doing your mapping?
That's an excellent question. We developed a very rigorous scientific method for doing exactly that, where we use ecological understanding and criteria to account for how different activities affect ecosystems differently. So, for example, nutrient runoff into coral reefs has been shown to at least potentially be a very big problem. You get algal overgrowth that kills off a lot of the corals, whereas nutrient input into, say, muddy bottoms at a river mouth probably doesn't have much of an impact. So those differences in how ecosystems respond to a particular activity are accounted for in our analysis and allow one to make these comparisons between different types of impacts in different types of ecosystems.
You know, I managed to see a copy of your video broadcast, I guess, from the deck of a boat showing the rotating Earth. One of the things that struck me was how much or how very little pristine ocean was left. Do we know how much ocean wilderness remains?
Well, what we found is that there's no single spot on the entire planet that's been untouched by human activities. So the ocean is vast, as we all know, and despite that, we've managed to affect every single spot of it. Now, that said, there are small areas that remain relatively low impacted, and so these areas probably aren't pristine, but they're probably in very good shape relative to kind of what the rest of the world looks like. And these areas, for the most part, are in the poles in Antarctica and the Arctic, but there are small patches of these very low-impact ocean actually throughout the world. Almost every country has at least some of this very low-impact area.
So we could create some marine conservation areas, perhaps?
Exactly. So what's really exciting about what we've done, we think, is that it helps us understand where and how much humans are having an impact on the ocean, and where this is very low, these blue spots on the map we've produced. These areas, we may decide, are important to protect to keep them in good condition. But they also provide a reference point for what we might want to make the rest of the area look like through restoration or mitigation efforts for those parts of the oceans that are being heavily impacted.
Well, another thing that really stood out from the mapping is that wherever there are intensive human settlements along the coasts, the oceans are in trouble. Can you name some of the hardest hit areas?
That's exactly right. I mean, where humans are the most heavily, densely populated is also where a lot of the heavy impacts are. And by far the largest, most heavily impacted places on the planet are in the North and Norwegian seas near Great Britain and Norway, and in South and East China seas, which are between the coasts of China and Japan and Indonesia and Malaysia. Those are the largest, most heavily impacted places, but there are stretches of very heavy impact in the northeast of the United States, in the Puget Sound area, throughout the Eastern Caribbean, near Sri Lanka and India, as well as many other places. A lot of these places are where there are very large human populations.
I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the new United Nations Environment Report called In Dead Water. Have you seen that one?
I just did see that this last week. It's a very analogous, parallel effort. It's a slightly different focus, but it really is, I think, raising the same concerns and alarm that our report found, that, you know, we really are having a broad and significant impact on our oceans.
We're just waking up to this. Of course, all this happens way far away where nobody sees it, and we don't understand much about it. Do you think it's fair to say we're just in our baby days of understanding how the ocean works?
Well, it really is, you know, the last scientific frontier, at least on this planet. I mean, we do spend trillions of dollars exploring outer space, and there's a lot of value in that, but we still know so little about, especially the deep ocean, but the oceans in general. But that said, we actually know a lot as it is, certainly enough to be now aware of what we're doing to the ocean and enough to know, you know, ways that we can move forward in better protecting and managing our oceans. So I don't think that we are or should be held back by a sense of not knowing enough in terms of the need to better protect our oceans and strategies we can use to do that. But there is plenty of room for improvement in our understanding, because there are lots of the ocean that we just still don't know much about.
Well, I guess part of my feeling on that comes as a member of the public. Some of these announcements come as a surprise to us because we haven't learned about it in our basic school education. It's a lot of new science that's coming at us, it seems, fairly quickly. Are you seeing a more demand for activism in scientists to get this message out? You know, I mean, it could be a sense of impatience with studying an ecosystem that may be disappearing.
Well, I think it's not so much probably activism as just grave concern. I mean, you know, my colleagues and I have been studying the oceans for a while, many of my colleagues much longer than me, and we have seen in our short careers the ocean ecosystems getting worse and worse, and that is alarming to us because we know what the oceans could be like if we better manage them, and we're seeing that disappear. It's also really important to note that, you know, we get a lot of the things that we like and need from the oceans. We get fishes, you know, from fisheries. We go to the beach and enjoy swimming in the ocean. We get our water filtered through estuaries. There's a lot of services that we get from the oceans, and these services are extremely valuable. And as we degrade the ocean, the ability of the ocean to provide those services is disappearing. And that's something I think that people are just becoming aware of and realizing, that it's not just for the sake of conservation and species that we need to be paying attention to the ocean. It's for the sake of our own species, of humanity, that we need to be better managing the ocean.
We almost need a Stern report for the oceans to show their economic value.
That's right, and there have been efforts to do that. It's a very challenging thing to do, but preliminary estimates put, you know, the value at hundreds of billions of dollars a year just from the oceans, and that's almost certainly conservative.
Well, as someone who attended the recent American Academy meeting in Boston, what other ocean research really struck you?
Well, there's... there was a really interesting report that came out, actually in the same issue that our map came out, talking about a dead zone that's been formed off of the coast of Oregon that's been persistent, showing up every year for the past 6 years. And these dead zones have a variety of causes, but they are often caused by nutrient runoff from land. This one in Oregon actually is, they think, caused by climate change shifting the upwelling regime. In any case, when you get these dead zones, you get really, really low levels of oxygen, which essentially kill off all of the fish and invertebrates that live in that area, and it can have disastrous effects for fisheries and other things that people care about. And these are becoming much more common and much larger around the world, these dead zones are, and they're going to continue to do so as climate change continues, and if we don't better regulate the amount of nutrients and pollutants that we put into the water. And so these are becoming a grave concern. I think the other frontier of research right now that is alarming is the consequences of ocean acidification, and there was some talk of that at the AAAS meeting in Boston. And as we put more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, it changes the acidity of the oceans. It increases the acidity, and that makes it harder for organisms that build shells to make those shells. And ultimately, if the water gets too acidic, they can no longer make their shells. And this was going to have profound impacts on not just biodiversity, but a lot of things that people care about from the oceans.
If people want to find out more, do you have websites you would like to recommend?
Well, our whole project and the maps that we've produced and all the data are available at our website, which is a bit of a mouthful, but it's www.nceas.ucsb.edu/globalmarine. And there you can find all the results and maps that we produced from our project. There are a lot of other resources emerging on the web for how to eat fish sustainably, how to change your daily life practices to better protect the oceans, and there are a lot of those, so I don't have any particular one to recommend.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do for our listeners. I'll put that link in my blog, which people can find at ecoshock.org, and that way be able to go right to your site. Well, I'm Alex Smith, and my guest has been Ben Halpern from the University of California, and he's sort of a new cartographer, I think, who's painted a better picture of the real state of the oceans. It was released in mid-February at the American Academy for the Advancement of Science. Thank you for taking the time with us, Ben.
My pleasure.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.